Sangha Japa conference call. I welcome everyone in this Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. So today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Sukh Sagari Mataji to enlighten us on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit Antalila chapter 7 and verse number 14 onwards. So Hare Krishna Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and time. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you to all the organizers for giving me this opportunity to purify myself and study the Chaitanya Charitamrita in more detail. And we'll start with the Mangalacharan. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Giriraj Swaminiti Namini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Desha Tarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so we are reading from Antyalila Chaitanya Charitamrita chapter 7 and from verse 14 onwards. And this chapter is describing the meeting of, we are discussing currently the meeting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vallabha Bhattacharya here. So in the previous classes, we just saw a little bit of introduction about how, this came about. And now we are going to go a little bit more deeper. And Vinita Mataji, I hope the verses are projected. Yeah, we'll be doing CC Antya 7:14 now. Prema Parakashana He Krishna Shakti Vine Krishna Eka Prema Data Shastra Pramane. Without being especially empowered by Krishna, one cannot manifest ecstatic love of Krishna, for Krishna is the only one who gives ecstatic love. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. So we see here that actually Vallabha Acharya is glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he, in the previous verses also, we saw how he glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says that how he has spread, he's spreading the Sankirtan movement, with his ecstatic chanting like that. So, in this verse, we see that he's again, saying that this cannot happen unless a person is directly empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why does he say so? I thought it would be worth our while to go back to Madhya Lila and also see what actually transpired between Vallabha Acharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we will take a step back in our journey and go back to Madhya Lila chapter 19. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took his sannyas diksha, he actually wanted to move to Vrindavan, But like we know how Lord Nityananda tricked him, and then he was back in Shantipura, and then because of the request of his mother and other devotees, he decided to set up base in Jagannath Puri. So after he moved to Jagannath Puri, and he went on his famous South India Yatra. And after he came back from the Yatra, they celebrated again the Rath Yatra festival. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he always wanted, in fact, he requested all the devotees to come every year, to celebrate the Rath Yatra festival at Puri. So generally, all these devotees from all the parts of India, like Nityananda Prabhu was managing the congregation, the preaching efforts in you know, Bangla or like Bangladesh and that part of Bengal. And different devotees were in different parts of the country managing stuff. And all of them used to congregate at Jagannath Puri to get the divine association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So after his South Indian Yatra, he actually set out to Vrindavan. And that's when, you know, when Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, they actually wanted to join him for a long time. But then they found this moment to be the most, you know, opportune moment. And like we know and we have read earlier, Sri Rupa Goswami and his brother, Sri Vallabha, he's also called Sri Vallabha or Anupama. So they both had left and Sanatana was still, you know, stuck up there with the Nawab. So they both had left and they went and they got the darshan and association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag. Prayag is the very holy place where, you know, the Ganga and the Jamuna, they actually, the waters actually come together at that place. So they met at Prayag, and that's where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave these instructions to Rupa Goswami as to what he should be doing and things like that. And at that place, what happened was when Rupa and Sri Vallabha, let me say Anupama, so that we can differentiate, because we are also discussing about Vallabha Acharya or Vallabha Bhatta. So when they were meeting up with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually Sri Vallabha Acharya also happened to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that same point of time. And that he was actually living in Adaila Grama, which is very close to Prayag. And so when he heard about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to take his association and darshan. So there are very sweet exchanges about how, you know, they both discussed Krishna Katha. And Vallabha Acharya used to discuss Krishna Katha with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would, you know, go into ecstatic trance. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knew that Sri Vallabha Acharya was, you know, from the, you know, like, he was from the other sampradaya, and he knew that, you know, he was a very a scholarly person. So he tried to hide his ecstatic emotions in front of Vallabha Acharya, because he didn't want to do that, because not many understood the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was very shy. That's what is written in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he was shy to portray his emotions, like his ecstatic emotions, in front of Sri Vallabha. But nonetheless, even though he tried to hide his emotions, it would just come forth. You know, he couldn't control himself at some many points of time like that. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was meeting with Sri Vallabha Acharya, Rupa Goswami and his brother Anupama also came there. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced these two brothers to Sri Vallabha Acharya. So at that time, Rupa Goswami, in a very humble mood, he just, you know, stepped back and, you know, started to run back, saying that, "Don't come near me. I'm a very, very fallen, wretched soul," like that. So Sri Vallabha was very surprised as to, he is like, how come, you know, these two boys are chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, and, you know, whoever takes the holy name of Lord Krishna is actually a very a great soul. So how come they, you know, they're talking of themselves as some leeches and, you know, some low people like that. He was surprised and he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knew that, you know, about Sri Vallabha Acharya, that he knew that he took pride in his commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, and he wanted to teach him a lesson. So he just told him that, "Oh no, these boys are, you know, you're a great Brahmana, you're so exalted, you're so learned, you're a pandit, and you belong to such a prestigious lineage. And don't, you know, try to associate with these boys. These are very, you know, like, low class boys, so do not associate with them. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually told about them, though, you know, he has the highest regards for Sri Rupa Goswami and, you know, Sanatana Goswami and the brothers. I mean, we know it for a fact, but he just put, put this situation in there, you know, so that he could teach Sri Vallabhacharya what humility is all about, you know, how a Vaishnava should never be very proud of his or her learning or Brahminical abilities, but then be very humble and, and be like a humble Vaishnava. So that's why he was trying to teach Sri Vallabhacharya this lesson. But Vallabhacharya, nevertheless, he understood, you know, that these two boys are not ordinary. So I would just like to read the purport from this point. This is verse 69 from Madhya Leela, chapter 19. And this is very instructive, instructional to all of us. So that's why I thought we should maybe read this purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Don't touch him, for he belongs to a very low caste. You are a follower of Vedic principles and are a well-experienced performance of many sacrifices. You also belong to the aristocracy. Generally, Brahmanas are puffed up with false prestige because they belong to the aristocracy and perform many Vedic sacrifices. In South India especially, this fastidious position is most prominent. At any rate, this was the case 500 years ago. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually started a revolution against this Brahminical system by inaugurating the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. By this chanting, one can be delivered regardless of caste, creed, color, or social position. Whoever chants the Hare Krishna Maha mantra is immediately purified due to the transcendental position of devotional service." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here is hinting to Vallabha Bhattacharya that an exalted Brahmana who makes sacrifices and follows Vedic principles should not neglect a person who is engaged in devotional service by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Actually, Rupa Goswami did not belong to a lower caste. He was from a highly aristocratic Brahmana family. But due to his association with the Muslim Nawab, he was considered fallen and was excommunicated from Brahmana society. However, due to his advanced devotional service, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as a Goswami. Vallabha Bhattacharya knew all this. One who is a devotee is above caste and creed. Yet Vallabha Bhattacharya felt himself prestigious. Okay, the last part may not be very relevant, but we can read it nonetheless. The present head of the Vallabha Bhattacharya Sampradaya of Bombay is named Dikshita Maharaj. He is very friendly to our movement, and whenever we meet him, this learned Brahmana scholar highly praises the activities of the Hare Krishna movement. He is a life member of a society, and although he is a learned scholar in the Brahminical caste tradition, he accepts our society and considers as members bona fide devotees of Lord Vishnu. So we see here that Srila Prabhupada is also making a comment that how he has, you know, how ISKCON has very good relations with the Vallabha Sampradaya also, you know, like he is quoting the then Acharya there, Dikshita Maharaj, and says how he was very encouraging of the efforts of ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada there. So let's move on with the story. Actually, I wanted to bring your attention to another verse. Let's move on with the story. So at this point of time, after discussing all this with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually Sri Vallabha Bhattacharya wants to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home, you know, for a lunch program like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agrees to this, and like I mentioned earlier, Vallabhacharya's home is on the other side of the Ganga, and of the Yamuna, and then he has to take a boat actually to go to the other side, and that place is called Adaila Grama. So then what he does is he arranges for this boat, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and few of the other associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they hop onto this boat. And when they're crossing the Yamuna, seeing the Yamuna, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes into another ecstatic trance, you know, because when he sees the black water, when he sees the black waters, I mean, he's reminded of Krishna, and he goes into an ecstatic trance again. But he tries to hide all his emotions again, because he like I said, he is very shy to show his emotions in front of Vallabhacharya. But he's not able to. And at one point of time, what happens is, in his ecstasy, he just jumps off the boat, you know, and the devotees around, they kind of get, all alarmed, and they try to bring him back on the boat. And because of all these things happening, the boat rocks, and a lot of water actually is coming inside the boat. So it was kind of a very a scary situation happening there. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw that all the devotees were, you know, kind of scared of what's going to happen, he just controlled again his emotions and tried to, you know, appear like normal like that. But he was in the transcendental mood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then what happened was, at that time, Vallabhacharya understood, you know, when he saw these ecstatic emotions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood that this is not an ordinary personality. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Like, he got that realization, actually. Even before, you know, when he was talking the Krishna Katha with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had that realization that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then what happens is, they go to Adaila Grama, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honors his lunch there, and then the prasadam is also, maha is given to Sri Rupa Goswami and his brother also, you know. Vallabhacharya makes sure that Rupa Goswami first receives the maha of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he shows, like, though he is very proud of his scholarly qualifications, but he nevertheless understands the importance of a devotee, and he knows to recognize, you know, a devotee. So he knew that Rupa Goswami and his brother, and, you know, they were not ordinary souls. They were like the very exalted associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he shows them a lot of respect, and he gives them the first maha, and Rupa Goswami honors them, and you know. And then when he tries to massage the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that, why don't you go and honor your prasadam? So that is the kind of respect he offers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so then he goes and honors his prasadam. And at that time, there's this another devotee who comes to actually meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he also discusses the Krishna Katha with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I just wanted to add one more detail. Actually, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cook, and he actually cooks the prasadam at Vallabhacharya's place. So at that time, this other devotee, Raghupati Upadhyaya, he arrives and he meets with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then again, they discuss a lot of very advanced topics. And again, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he hears about Krishna Leela from Raghupati Upadhyaya, they again enter into an ecstatic trance and start dancing, actually. So at this point, again, Vallabhacharya, he sees this happening. And when people also around in the village, you know, they hear of these glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they want to come and take darshan and get his association of him. But then Vallabhacharya is very careful, and he gets very protective of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he decides that, you know, this may not be very much in favor, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going into all these ecstatic moods as soon as he hears about Krishna. So he said, this may really not work out very well. So he makes a plan that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should not stay longer in Adaila Grama, that is at his place. So he advises that maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should move over elsewhere, you know. So at that time, again, next time when they go back from Adailagram, Vallabha Acharya makes sure that they're not taking the Yamuna route, because he's again afraid if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, may again go into his ecstatic transcendental trance. So he takes another route, and then they go back to Prayag, and actually that's where at Dashashvamedha Ghat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Rupa Goswami about, you know, what his next step should be, what Rupa Goswami should propagate, what he should be doing, things like that. So this is a brief recap of what happens in the Madhyalila. So we see that the relationship between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vallabha Bhattacharya is so special that he's already met, and they know about each other and things like that. So that's why we see in this verse, Vallabha Bhattacharya is very, specifically saying, without being especially empowered by Krishna, one cannot manifest ecstatic love of Krishna. So he knows that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an ordinary soul, he is Krishna himself. And that's why he's making this statement, you know. So this incident happens at a later point of time. Like I said, every year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged devotees from different parts of the country to come and congregate for the Rath Yatra festival. So at one such meeting, Sri Vallabhacharya again meets Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. And that's when these talks actually happen. So at this time, he's again glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we'll move on to the next verse now. CC Antya 7:15. Sanpavatara bahava pushkara nabhasya sarvato bhadraha Krishna danyako valatasvapi premado bhavati. I don't know what meter that was, I just read. There may be many all auspicious incarnations of the personality of Godhead, but who other than Lord Sri Krishna can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls? This is a verse written by Bilva Mangala Thakura. It is quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So Laghu Bhagavatamrita is another major epic writing of Srila Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami. And this actually, in one sense, it's like an addendum, or you can say it's like how we discuss the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatan Goswami, which dealt with how, the journey of a devotee and how, what are the different levels of devotees and their relationships with Krishna, like that. So Laghu Bhagavatamrita, it actually gives a lot of details, you know, very intricate details on the different forms of Krishna, his avatars, and, you know, his expansions, and so many different categories like that. So all this is described. And so this is a verse they have picked from Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And it says that though there may be many auspicious incarnations of the personality of Godhead, but who other than Lord Krishna can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls? So what they're trying to say here is that it's none other than Lord Krishna who has taken this form of this golden avatar, you know, which is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who is giving the love of Godhead freely. So it is Krishna himself who has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and distributing this love of Godhead here. Next verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "My dear Vallabha Bhatta, you're a learned scholar. Kindly listen to me. I am a sannyasi of the Mayavad school. Therefore, I have no chance of knowing what Krishna Bhakti is." So again, we see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking a very, very humble position for himself again. And he says that, Vallabha, you're a learned scholar. He's trying to put him on a pedestal there. And he says, He is just a sannyasi of a Mayavad school. So we know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took Diksha, sannyas Diksha from Keshav Bharati actually, and in Katwa. And he requested Keshav Bharati to give him sannyas because technically speaking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He did not have to do this, but to keep up with the social norms, he took sannyas. And that too he took from the Mayavad school because some reasons I've heard is because it's considered that the Mayavad sannyasis are, you know, those days were very strict, and you know, it was a sign, it would give a lot of respect in society if he took sannyas from a Mayavad, you know, and so he could also further or foster his preaching movement, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's aim was to actually give the love of Godhead, and he thought that this would really help him to do that in a better way. So there are more details about how he took sannyas from Sri Keshav Bharati, and though he took sannyas and Keshav Bharati gave him the mantra, it is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first whispered the mantra into Sri Keshav Bharati's ears and initiated him, and then got the mantra back again from him. So that's what we know about the intricate details about these things. And then also, he did not particularly change his name to, like generally they have this Bharati or Saraswati or Puri, or, and you know, these appellations added to their names once they get sannyas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he retained his name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, which they say is a name which is fit for a brahmachari, but he retained this name. He did not take to this name of Bharati like that. And then he started preaching in a big way, because he, you know, then he did not have to conform to those social varnashrama systems. So once he was a sannyas, he went about doing his preaching more freely. So that's what is, he's taking a humble position here by, you know, claiming himself to be a sannyasi of the Mayavad school. And he says, I have no chance of knowing what Krishna Bhakti is. So Krishna Bhakti is, like we know, is a very, very personal, God-oriented, Krishna-oriented philosophy, and the Mayavads do not believe in the personal form of the Lord. So he's saying that I have no chance of knowing what Krishna Bhakti is, but he is himself Krishna and he's here propagating this movement. So he takes such a humble position there. Next verse, 7:17. Nevertheless, my mind has become purified because I have associated with Advaita Acharya, who is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, he tries to pass the buck on to Sri Advaita Acharya, his associate, you know, and the huhunkar, like they say, of Advaita Acharya, actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to purify us all in this Kali Yuga. So he says that it is Advaita Acharya's association, you know, which is actually purifying me, because he is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we know this invocation verse, we generally read Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupas Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. So in this we see that Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam. So the five truths, you know, Pancha Tattva, Pancha is five and Tattva is the truths. Atmakam Krishnam, unto Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhakta Rupa. So the Bhakta Rupa is none other than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam. Swarupakam, that is the expansion of this devotee, that is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. That's what Srila Prabhupada translates it as. And then Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam. So the devotional incarnation, the Bhaktavataram, is Advaita Acharya. He is none other than Mahavishnu himself. Bhaktakhyam, the devotional energy, which is, Gadadhar Pandit is the personification of this Bhaktakhyam. Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. And then the pure devotee, Srivas Pandita. So this is what this verse translates into. So we see that Sri Advaita Acharya, he was none other than Mahavishnu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that it is because of his mercy that my mind has become purified. We move on to the next verse, 7:18. Sarva Shastra Krishna Bhakti Nahi Andra Sama Ateva Advaita Acharya Tandra Nama. He is unparalleled in his understanding of all the revealed scriptures and the devotional service of Lord Krishna. Therefore, he is called Advaita Acharya. 7:19. Yahara Kripate Mleche Rahaya Krishna Bhakti Ke kahite pare tandra vaishnavata shakti. He is such a great personality that by his mercy he can convert even the meat eaters mlechas to the devotional service of Krishna. Who therefore can estimate the power of his Vaishnavism? It is extremely difficult to convert a mlecha or meat eater into a devotee of Lord Krishna. Therefore, anyone who can do so is situated on the highest level of Vaishnavism. So we can take the example of our own Srila Prabhupada, how exalted a devotee of Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, was. He came to the West and preached to the Western population, and many of the people here, most of the people here, you know, are meat eaters, and, you know, they don't have much idea of the Vedic traditions or what Vedic culture is all about. So Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America, he preached to these Westerners, and they all took to Krishna consciousness, you know, so easily. I mean, it appeared like as though it was not at all anything major, you know, because Srila Prabhupada was such an empowered devotee of the Lord that with the very humble beginning, you know, of chanting in the a park in New York, he, you know, the devotees gathered around him. People were attracted to his chanting and they took to Krishna consciousness. So that is how empowered, you know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually glorifying Advaita Acharya here by saying that by his mercy, he can convert the meat eater. So we can actually, you know, we have seeing it for real here, happening at our, you know, times, contemporary times, how Srila Prabhupada did the same thing. You know, he went to the West and preached, and so easily he brought devotees into his, into his Krishna consciousness, into Krishna consciousness, and how he seamlessly, you know, apparently seamlessly converted all these meat eaters. And, you know, people who did not have any idea about what Vedic culture is or anything like that. And he converted them so easily. In one sense, I won't even say converted them. He inspired them. I don't know if converted would give a different, you know, idea. But he inspired them so much that people naturally took to Krishna consciousness. And we see so great devotees. They have become so great devotees of the Lord. At one point of time, Srila Prabhupada also commented that, you know, these devotees who first joined him, they are not ordinary souls. They are actually sent by Lord Krishna himself to assist him in this movement. So these devotees who first joined Srila Prabhupada are very exalted souls who actually helped Srila Prabhupada further this movement in the West, you know, which was his Guru Maharaj's order. So these are not ordinary devotees who serve Srila Prabhupada personally, got his personal association. So they're very, very special devotees who took to Krishna consciousness just like that, you know, by the association of Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, anyone who can do so is situated on the highest level of Vaishnavism. So we see that how by the Shastra Pramana, we can see that Srila Prabhupada is situated on the highest level of Vaishnavism. That means he is a Uttama Adhikari. But for our sakes, you know, for just to liberate or just to, you know, bring these fallen souls of Kali Yuga up to speed, he took the position of Madhyama Adhikari at some times and tried to preach I mean, he taught everything by himself, you know, to all the devotees, starting from cooking, how to wear a dhoti, how to play the mridanga drum, how to even play the kartals, how to sing bhajans, things like that. There was no bhajan book also earlier. So devotees used to just, you know, listen carefully to Srila Prabhupada and try to jot down quickly, you know, what bhajans he was singing and things like. Now we have a lot of content online, which is, you know, which helps us to learn and which helps us to gain more knowledge about this. But the devotees who came on earlier, they had to do all the groundwork. And, you know, it's much easier for us now because we have all this ready in front of us. So, but those devotees, the pioneer devotees, they did everything from even writing the song book, trying to note down what Srila Prabhupada was telling, assisting Srila Prabhupada in the translation of so many books, and you know, so many services they have done, pioneer services, and now you know, it's all so easily available to all of us. All we have to do is just Google and we get tons of information, and you know, about what Srila Prabhupada's scriptures, books are all about. So that's the work they have done for us, and we are ever grateful to all the devotees who helped Srila Prabhupada do this for us. So Srila Prabhupada was situated on the highest level of Vaishnavism. He's an Uttama Adhikari, we can understand, as Advaita Acharya was also being glorified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the next verse, 7:20. Nityananda avadhuta sakshatishvara bhavan made mata krishna premira sagara. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the avadhuta, is also directly the supreme personality of Godhead. He is always intoxicated with the madness of ecstatic love. Indeed, he is an ocean of love of Krishna. So we see that he is directly the supreme. So it says bhakta rupa swarupakam, right? We saw the verse panchatattvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and swarupakam, it is referring to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He is a personal expansion of Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of a devotee. So the personal expansion of a devotee, that's how Srila Prabhupada translates bhakta rupa swarupakam into. So Nityananda Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is attributing his, you know, whatever little purification he has to Nityananda Prabhu now. Earlier it was Advaita Acharya he was glorifying, and now he is saying that it's Nityananda Prabhu's mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, having some semblance of Krishna Bhakti. So Nityananda Mahaprabhu is always intoxicated with the madness of ecstatic love. A specific word is being used in this verse. We see Nityananda Avadhuta. Avadhuta is somebody who does not, you know, conform to the social norms. You know, they're beyond all these social norms, and to a commoner, you know, to an outsider, to a common person, it may appear that this person is behaving or acting crazy. And we have seen some pastimes of how Lord Nityananda, you know, does some pastimes of his are kind of difficult for us to understand where he was coming from or what mood he was actually doing these pastimes with. So he's described as an avadhuta, like who does not conform to these social norms. But he's so, because he's so intoxicated with the ecstatic love of Krishna, that he's above all these, you know, social norms. Indeed, he's an ocean of love of Krishna. So next verse, Antya 7.21. Saddarshana Veta Bhattacharya Sarva Bhauma Saddarshane Jagat Guru Bhagavato Tama. Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya perfectly knows the six philosophical theses. He is therefore the spiritual master of the entire world in teaching the six paths of philosophy. He is the best of devotees. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moves on to glorify Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya. We see, you know, again in the Madhya Leela, we have read about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually had this great, great conversation with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he explained the 61 meanings of the Atmarama verse to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who gave the knowledge, but he again poses himself in such a humble position, and he says that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he knows the six philosophical theses, and he is the spiritual master of the entire world. He says like that. So we see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always giving credit to devotees. And if we see the history, life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed all his disciples to write so many books, to write so many, you know, we have so many poems, or we have so many bhajans which are authored by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. But if we tend to see the works of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have Shikshashtakam, and pretty much that is it. And he gave all the credit to all his disciples. He wanted his disciples to spread the movement. So he himself, you know, there's just one Shikshashtakam prayer of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took such a humble position of a devotee, and he proved it and showed it by example. And so we see that his associates, they were all pandits in one sense. The six Goswamis are no less than scholarly pandits, you know, like so amazing scholars who have brought about so many books. So they were all empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he is again taking this very, very humble position. He is trying to attribute each of his associates for his, for his purification, for his Krishna bhakti. Next verse, 722. Tenha dekhaila more bhakti yoga para tanra prasade janilum Krishna bhakti yoga sara. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has shown me the limit of devotional service. Only by his mercy have I understood that devotional service to Krishna is the essence of all mystic yoga. So again, he is trying to glorify Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya by saying that he has actually showed him that the essence of all mystic yoga, or the essence of, you know, dhyana yoga, is nothing but devotional service to Krishna. Next verse, CC Ante 723. Ramandaraya Krishna Rasira Nidhana Tenha Jana Ila Krishna Swayam Bhagavana. Sri Ramananda Raya is the ultimate knower of all the transcendental mellows of Lord Krishna's devotional service. He has instructed me that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, this Ramananda Raya, another great devotee of the Lord, who actually moved there to Jagannath Puri because he wanted more association of the Lord. He has this famous Ramananda Raya Samvad with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again takes this very humble position and keeps questioning Ramananda Raya as to what is the ultimate, the highest truth in the Vaishnava philosophy. He asks him, so what is high, what is high? So Sri Ramananda Raya, he starts off with Varnashrama Dharma and moves on, you know, like Sakama Bhakti, Nishkama Bhakti. He goes on like in different stages, and then ultimately goes on to the highest form of the love of the gopis for Krishna, which is the highest form of Krishna Bhakti. So these are all elicited, you know, in the form of questions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asks questions to Ramananda Raya and elicits all these truths from his devotee. Again, he uses his devotee as an instrument to spread these high philosophy, this high truths of Vaishnava philosophy. He doesn't want to take the credit again. So, but he asks all those questions, and you know, in one way, he's actually prodding Srila Ramananda Raya to give these answers out to us. So that is the humble position Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again is taking, and he is glorifying his devotee and saying that he knows the ultimate, he is the ultimate knower of all transcendental mellows. So Ramananda Raya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were like, he one of the very important associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he used to discuss Rasa Tattva with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very few devotees had this privilege who could go into the transcendental mellows. So Swarup Damodar was one, and Sri Ramananda Raya was also a very, very confidential associate who could discuss Rasa Tattva. And we've also seen in the earlier few chapters that how Ramananda Raya was, you know, in his such an exalted soul, and he would make these dramas and for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very, very esoteric dramas he used to direct and make. So we've read about all those things in the past few chapters. I just thought it'll be good to remember that. Yeah, next verse, 724. Through the mercy of Ramananda Raya, I have understood that ecstatic love of Krishna is the highest goal of life, and that spontaneous love of Krishna is the highest perfection. Purushartha, the goal of life, generally refers to religion, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and finally liberation. However, above these four kinds of purusharthas, love of Godhead stands supreme. It is called Parama Purushartha, the supreme goal of life, or Purushartha Shiromani, the most exalted of all purusharthas. Lord Krishna is worshipped by regulative devotional service, but the highest perfection of devotional service is spontaneous love of Godhead. So this is basically describing our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy in just four lines. You know, Srila Prabhupada's purport is so beautifully giving it away, that generally the aim of the Vedas, you know, is to impart this knowledge of Purushartha, which is dharma artha kama moksha, you know. But our philosophy teaches us to go beyond these four kinds of purusharthas and go into the parama purushartha, which is greater than these four goals of life. You know, it goes beyond that and enables us to actually get into our original position of rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and which is the spontaneous love of Godhead, the highest perfection. Though we are, you know, Lord Krishna is worshipped by regulative devotional service, as Prabhupada says. We start off as sadhana bhaktas, you know, like with rules and regulations under the guidance of our spiritual master. We start off our devotional service, but the end aim is to reach the planned form of spontaneous bhava bhakti, you know, where we can spontaneously offer devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is where we want to go to. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, through the mercy of Ramananda Raya, I have understood that ecstatic love of Krishna is the highest goal of life, and that spontaneous love of Krishna is the highest perfection. So as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that is our perfection too. You know, we want to aim for that ecstatic, spontaneous love of Krishna and serve him in that mood. I think I'd like to stop here, and if there are any comments or any corrections or any realizations, questions, Mataji, please feel free. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a nice class. I don't have any questions. It was a very inspiring class. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Bol.
Hey, Preeti.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Bol.
Nice to have you here, Preeti. Hare Krishna.
So nice to see you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, my glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for such a nice class, because you took us back in Madhya Leela and you narrated that whole pastime with the Vallabha Bhatta. So it was really nice, Mataji, for the connection that you made with the present chapter. A very, very nice class, and thank you for all your realizations that you shared. And I also don't have any question, but I really like the way, you know, you presented the class and you took it back in Madhya Leela and build up a kind of a, you know, meaning to the present class. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mata, following in your footsteps.
Anyone else has any question, any comments, they can go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for the class. Everything was so very well explained and very clear, and I appreciate that. I'm sorry I joined late, but what I did hear was very, as I said, so well explained. So thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for your kind encouragement. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Mataji, I want to appreciate your beautiful chanting on Bhagavad Gita Jayanti. It was so beautiful, Mataji. Thank you so much for inspiring me.
Oh, no, Mataji. I'm so inspired by all of the devotees on this call. It's an amazing group. We're all so fortunate to take each other's association.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Oh, is this Gauranga Mataji?
Yes, Hare Krishna. Yeah, thank you for you presented so much, you know, so much information within this short time. You know, one thing I was remembering, you might have mentioned it, but I wasn't sure that I heard it, so I thought I would mention it myself. When you were talking about the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Keshava Bharati, you know, because at that time, you know, it was the norm to take from Mayavadi sannyasis, because those were the ones who were prominent at the time. But it was also because, you know, Mahaprabhu saw that people were not taking him so seriously, you know. But my understanding is that he knew that people had great respect for sannyasis. And therefore, for that reason, he took a sannyas, you know, and he would purify people that way. Anyway, that was just one thought that occurred to me when that subject of his taking sannyas came up. I'm sorry if you mentioned it and I'm just repeating, but I hadn't heard that, so I thought I would mention it.
Thanks, Mataji, for adding that beautiful point. Thank you so much for your inputs on this.
Yeah, thank you also for a very nice and informative class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, this is Anshu. So, very nice class. I still like the example of Prabhupada that you gave in the class. So I have one question about that. Like, so you were talking about how they were like, all the devotees, like how they were taking, notes when Prabhupada was talking about whatever lecture he was giving. So like, how would they take it? Like, do they have like papers or like that in those times or no?
Yeah. Of course, yeah. I mean, this is not that far back in Stone Age or something. It's just in 70s. Yeah, of course. Like, I just remembered this, incident which I heard where, this famous bhajan bhaja who Mana
Ajahure Mana Sri Nandanandana.
So if you actually hear Yamuna Mataji's version of it, she says Bajahu Manare, you know, something like that. Because she just heard and tried to learn, you know, from what Srila Prabhupada was singing. So if you see, she actually, some of the words are not very clear in her earlier rendition of the bhajan. But, you know, with pure devotion, she sang. It's, when you listen to the bhajan, you can feel the purity there. Though, you know, some of the words are not right in place. But yeah, devotees took special efforts to, you know, note down everything Srila Prabhupada said. I mean, we have so many conversations and so much on record, you know. It's all thanks to all these great devotees who took so much efforts to record every word of Srila Prabhupada. So that now we are blessed with all this, Anshu.
Okay. Thank you, Mata.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it'll be nice. I don't know if you have the time with your school and stuff. But not only Srila Prabhupada's books, his conversations, his morning walks and things, like, they're all so much more filled with nectar, you know, like so personal and so beautiful. So
yeah.
It'll be nice.
Yeah, to- one time I was reading this book with my aunt, my mom's sister, and she was reading... Prabhupada, she used to read Prabhupada books.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to listen to her read, so it was nice. Yeah.
So nice, Anshu.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji, beautiful class. See, Srila Prabhupada has given so much to us and so much technology we are using. That time that was, there was not much technology, but still they did so much. So we should also do something.
Mataji, you are doing so much already. You're using technology, you're putting technology to the best use, I think. Yeah. You're doing, you know, bringing in so many speakers and doing so much. So nice, Seva, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, and also you do those Vrindavan Yatra, Mayapur Yatra, you know, every seasonal yatras. They're so amazing, Mataji. Like, they add so much to the mood. And, you know, it's like you learned the theory in Bhagavatam, now you go to the practical, you know, and go on the yatra. It's something like that for me. So it's so nice, Mataji.
It's all Prabhupada's mercy, all devotees' mercy, Mataji. I don't know anything. But just...
Vinita Mataji, Kirtita Mataji.
Yeah, yeah. Hare Krishna, do anyone else has any questions, any comments? Okay, then with all your permission and with the permission of Sukhsagri Mataji, we'll end up and we'll meet tomorrow in the Bhagavatam class and today also in kids class. I don't know whether we have or not. Let wish you all a very, very happy Krishna conscious, prosperous new year. So thank you so much, Mataji, for your wonderful association on this last day of 2020.
Wow, I didn't realize that until you
know. Yeah, you ended 2020 with beautiful Chaitanya Katha. What else is needed? Yeah, so thank you, Mataji. So we'll stop here. Vancha kalpataru vascha kripasindhu vai vacha. Patitanam pavaneyo
Vaishnavebhyo namo namah ananda bodhi vaishnavebhyo namacharya jay arvi jay satavari vadadi ki
jay.
Thank you, Vrinda. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Her enthusiasm is contagious.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.